Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm just going to jump into tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye are of God." Ye are of God. That means that God is now our Father. We are birth of God, okay? "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." How have we overcome them? "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." When it talks about the world, it's not talking about what we see, the Grand Canyon, rocks, heels, none of those things. It's talking about the world system that Satan is in charge of. So everything in this world system, the thoughts, the influences, the demon spirits involved, the Bible says we are of God and we have already overcome them. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Do you see that? The world in that verse is the exact same word as in John chapter 4, verse 4. "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world." Now I want you to notice what it's saying. Whoever is born of God overcometh the world. But now the Bible tells us the victory that is going to allow us to overcome the world. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world." And what's the next three words? "Even our faith." Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? We can be born of God. We can have God's life and nature. But if we are not walking in faith, we are not going to be overcomers, even though that is who we are born to be. You following me? Okay. When I was in college, Doris and I, we led a home fellowship. And we were part of a group that focused on home fellowships. And so we had about 6 to 10 people who would come every week. And for all practical purposes, that was church. They weren't going anywhere else. That was church. We had this couple who attended, John and Alicia. Alicia was a nurse, and John, he was probably a builder. And the reason I say John was a builder, because after they had gotten married, he designed and built a log home for them. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. All the landscaping, he even designed a pond. So it was a beautiful place. From time to time, Alicia would come to the fellowship without him. And every time she would come, she wouldn't say a whole bunch. She would just say there's just some issues that they're working through. There are some things going on at home. And that was about all that she would talk about. One time she came to a fellowship meeting. And she talked about how John had bursts of anger, how at times, for no reason at all, he just run out of the house for no reason at all. And so we would pray with her, stand with her, confess the word with her, you know, all the things that we just typically do, even pray with her. Well, one night after fellowship, Alicia had gone home. John didn't come with her. Now, John was a big guy. Probably 6'1", 6'2", a good solid 220, 230, broad shoulders, okay? And so he was a big guy, but he was the sweetest person you'd ever want to meet, okay? That was John. Well, this particular night, after the fellowship was over, Alicia had gone home. Probably 30 minutes later, we heard this loud, bam, 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 bam. on our door. And I looked at Darla and said, who in the world is banging on our door? So at that time, we didn't have peepholes, okay? So we were living in married student housing at the university. So I opened up the door, and I looked. Let me back up one bit. About 2 or 3 weeks earlier, Doris and I had sat through a seminar, that was called Dealing with the Adversary. Dealing with the Adversary. So spiritual warfare, you know, the whole ball of wax. Now, being a Baptist boy, I had never heard anything about demons at all. Nothing. I grew up Baptist my whole entire life. I had heard nothing. So imagine my surprise. Bam, 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 bam. And John is standing there in front of me. I mean, his eyes are just wide open. You could tell something is not right. His hair was all over his head. John was eating a piece of wood, a 2x4. And so he's looking at me when I open the door, and then he steps back. As I thought about that, John, the John that I saw, was possessed by a devil. The John that I saw was possessed by a devil. You cannot eat a 2x4 on your own. Trust me. Trust me, okay? I could barely get through a dill pickle. I know I cannot handle a 2x4, okay? So John, from now on, I'm going to just say the devil, the demon, was standing before me, okay? So he stood back, and I hadn't thought about this in many, many years until the Lord brought it to my attention to minister tonight. When John stepped back, when I opened the door, it wasn't because he saw Barry. He saw what was in Barry, that born-again spirit that had authority. That's what he saw that night, that spirit, when he opened the door, okay? And so when I opened the door and saw John, immediately Doris went into praying in tongue mode. She just started praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And I looked around, I said, honey, shh. Because for me, I'm trying to focus on John, and he's trying to focus on me. So he's looking at me, having stepped back, and I wish you could have seen what I saw, because he hadn't just taken a step back. He was against the wall like this, looking like this. He was taking a good, hard look at Barry because he wanted to size me up. Barry had gone through this training on dealing with the adversary. So he was going to size me up right then and there. Remember how Jesus faced the devil legion and he said, we are many? When I was looking at John, he didn't say a single word to me. All he did was, with the intent of intimidation. Okay, with the intent of intimidation. And so, as I looked at him, the Spirit took a step forward. He was not expecting me to say, in the name of Jesus, come out. He stepped back like that. Then I heard doors opening, apartment doors. Because in married student housing, you know, there's a long corridor. You have apartments on both sides. I heard doors opening. I started looking at the doors, at the people. John was looking at the people, and then John looked at me. He took another step forward. I decided to take a step forward. And I looked at him, I said, and I didn't scream this time, I didn't yell this time. I said, in the name of Jesus, you come out now. He stepped back. He fell back against the wall. And then, just for a moment, then he collapsed on the floor. Barry is still new at this. Okay? Barry is still new at this. What Barry did that night in that particular situation, he had been taught that he had the authority to cast out devils when devils presented themselves. He believed what he heard. I acted on what I believed. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay? So John laid on the floor for a few minutes. And then I reached down and touched him because his eyes were closed. You would have thought he was asleep on the floor. I reached down and I touched him, and immediately his eyes shot open. But the devil was gone. I reached down, he grabbed my arm, he pulled himself up, wobbly. And so, you know, I grabbed him, he grabbed him by the shoulder, and we walked back into the apartment building, into our apartment. I set John down on a chair, and he said, "I am so tired. Why am I tired?" And I said, "John, do you know where you are?" He says, "Yeah, I am in your apartment. But how did I get here? How did I get to your apartment?" See, John and Alicia, they live 30 minutes away. He drove 30 minutes not having a clue he was even on the road. So he said, "How did I get here?" I said, "John, you drove here and you had a spirit driving you, leading you, influencing you, and you had no control, no idea." He said, "The last thing I remember," and I want you all to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. He says, "The last thing I remember was listening to some hard rock music and drinking." I said, "You were listening to some hard rock music and drinking." You know, Barry is still new to this, okay? I'm still learning, so I'm just asking a lot of questions. And I said, did you do anything else?" He says, "Yeah, I got really drunk." I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know something?" And see, Alicia was gone. And they lived in a place that was kind of secluded. He says, "I heard this knock at the door. And so I went to open the door, and there was no one there. That demon spirit was there because he opened that door in the state that he was in, and the spirit just came right on in." I know this looking back, okay, not at the time. And I said, "John, have you done this before?" He says, "Yeah, I've done that several times before. Listen to hard rock music and gotten drunk." And so now I started putting pieces together. I understand what Alicia was seeing and experiencing when she was at home by herself with him. Because John would just have fits of anger. He would just throw stuff around for no reason at all. He would be John, hear the music blasting, and he'd been drinking, and then next thing you know, he was not John. And then she said, "You know, he would just run out of the house sometimes. I have no idea why he would do that." As the Lord was bringing all of that to remembrance, bringing back bits and pieces of that time, because we're talking about something, ladies and gentlemen, that happened 40 years ago when I was still in college, a newbie, wet behind the ears Baptist boy who didn't know Jack from Jill. Okay? And so the Lord reminded me that the only thing that I did was I believed what I had been taught, and I acted on what I had been taught. That was the only difference. And he said, Barry, again, filling in some gaps for me so many years later, he said that had you not cast that devil out, Alicia would have been next. So his wife would have been next in line for possession. Okay? Doris and I, we stayed in that apartment for an additional, for probably another 2 years until I graduated from college. And John and Alicia continued to attend the fellowship. John, I never had any other situation with John, as far as we knew from the time that the devil was cast out until we left. And when we left, they sent us off with gifts and stuff like that, because I, you know, I was getting ready to start a new job. And so when we left, John and Alicia were doing very well. And the Lord pointed something else out to me that I hadn't thought about. And again, I'm looking at this from 40 years away. He said, Barry, had you not cast out that demon, he would have overpowered you. I have no doubts about that whatsoever. This man is chewing wood. I have no doubt at all. He would have just done whatever he wanted to do. I wanted to bring all of this to your attention, ladies and gentlemen, because, and I got my timer going. Sometimes we don't believe what we hear. We don't believe what we hear. Now, we have been taught, we have been told we have authority in this world because of who we are and because of who we belong to. God is our Father. Have we not? But sometimes because we have authority and we declare things, we confess things, we pray about things, but we don't see things happening the way we want them to happen. Unlike this situation with John, the authority was clear. That devil knew he had no choice but to leave. The authority was clear. But so many times, because of the things that we are trying to accomplish now, we don't see our authority in motion. Are you following me? We meet on Sunday nights, half-hour teaching, and then 30 minutes of prayer. When we speak, when we pray, when we pray with our understanding, when we pray in tongues, we are speaking our authority the same way I spoke my authority over John, over that demon that possessed John. There is no difference, ladies and gentlemen. None. None. We are speaking our authority over, you know, we all have our list of people we're praying over. We're praying over the country. We're praying over our area. We're praying over our leaders. We have this list that we are praying over. And I know, I have no doubts in my mind that sometimes as we are praying and we continue to see things that we are seeing, we are wondering, are the prayers working? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Just because we don't see the manifestations of them right now, just because we don't see the manifestations of them when we want to see them, does not mean they are not working. Ladies and gentlemen, the results are not your job. The results are not your job. Praying is your job. Speaking the word is your job. The results are not your job. When you get to the place of understanding your job, your life is going to be a lot easier. It's going to be a lot less stressful because you know, God, this stuff still is crazy what's going on in this world today. But you know what? You have told me to pray. You have told me to confess the word. You have told me to spend time with you. You didn't tell me to go out and fix it. You don't have to fix it, ladies and gentlemen. And see, all of us, we are fixers. We want to fix our children. We want to fix our parents. Okay, we want to fix everybody. We want to fix our neighbor who gets up at 7:30 in the morning, mows his yard, and I'm still in bed. We want to fix him. That's what, oh yeah. We want to fix things. But God says that is not your job. The only thing I am asking you to do is pray. All the thing I'm asking you to do is pray. But see, for those with the fix-it mindset, when you just spend time praying, you may start to think, I'm not doing anything. You are doing exactly what needs to be done. You have a lot of Christians, ladies and gentlemen, who are trying to do things outside of the spiritual realm. You are trying to get Christians to try to do things because when they do something, when they feel like they have done something, it's an emotional high. Emotional highs does nothing. Satan is happy for you to have emotional highs. He's thrilled with that. He does not want you to be in your prayer closet praying. He'd rather you be out doing something so you could feel good. Okay? I'm working on it. I'm working on it, Lord. But I want you to understand this. When we pray, when we sit down and pray for 30 minutes, we are doing more damage in the realm of the spirit than any marcher could ever do. Did you hear me? There are so many Christians who want to march. There are so many Christians who want to get out there on the streets and march. The most needful thing a Christian, I said that twice. The most needful thing a Christian can do is pray. Is pray. You won't get any attaboys. You won't get any likes on Facebook. You won't get any of that because those folks don't think you are doing anything. They think you are being passive. They don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the only way we are going to have any shot at changing what's going on in this country is by praying. That's the only way we're going to have any shot whatsoever. And the sooner the body of Christ understands that, then the sooner we can all get on the same page and not have little remnants here, remnants there, remnants there, but have a whole body doing the same thing. So I want to encourage you tonight. When you sit down for the next 30 minutes to pray, you are doing so much damage to the realm of the spirit in a way that nothing else in this world could ever do. Don't ever believe that praying in tongues, sitting down for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, is a waste of time. You are, and I like the way the Lord uses in one of the prophecies from the prayer center, you are lending God your authority when you do that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I want to end with this. In talking about how sometimes we don't think our authority is really working. Do you remember when Jesus, the centurion, came to him and said, you know, my slave is sick. Would you come and heal him? Would you heal him? And Jesus says, yes, I'll come and heal him. And the man and the centurion said, you don't have to come, Jesus. You are a man under authority. Only thing you have to do is speak the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. Jesus released his authority, ladies and gentlemen. He never saw the manifestation. Do you hear me? He never saw the slave healed, but he knew the slave was healed. When we pray, when we release our authority, we don't have to see it happen. We know by faith it happened. That's all we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. And when you get to the point that you know what you need to do and all you need to do, everything else everybody else is saying you need to do, let them do it. Let them do it. And you do what the Lord tells you to do, which is you pray. You pray. Heavenly Father, you are God of great mercy and a God of great love. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have made our lives so simple. All we have to do is just do what you tell us to do. And then you can take care of everything else. It's no sweat off of our brows, no ego involved, none of that stuff, Lord. We just do what you asked us to do. No stress, no strain. It's all good. It's all good. So I give you praise this night. And I just thank you, Lord, that for the next 30 minutes, you have access to our authority to do what needs to be done to start to tear down some of the spiritual strongholds in this country so that the voice of the body of Christ can be heard loudly and clearly. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.